بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the classes on the points of benefit on Hajj and rulings on Hajj. Now, the topic tonight is the Talbiyah. When the talbiyah should be performed. First, the report from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared the talbiyah after he mounted his camel near the masjid in Dhul Hulayfa. After he mounted his camel. So as his camel stood up with him on the back, on its back, near the masjid. Talbiyah is to say, لبيك اللهم لبيك. And we will explain what it means. لبيك اللهم لبيك. This is the meaning. O Allah, I respond. O Allah, I respond. Okay. This is the first saying, that the talbiyah should be performed, or the talbiyah is to be performed after mounting one's mount, whether it's a camel, it's a car, or etc. Aftering, the second opinion is that he makes the talbiyah after the salah. You remember we said that when he makes salah, he enters the state of ihram. So the second opinion is that he makes the talbiyah after the salah. So after he enters the state of ihram, in the nusuk, in the ritual, he declares the talbiyah. This is the second opinion. The third opinion is that if he mounts the first elevation, which comes after mounting his mount and moving, while moving. So he mounts his mount and moves, and then when he encounters the first elevation, then he makes the talbiyah. The evidence for this is in the hadith of Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنه, in which he described the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's Hajj. He said, ثم ركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the Prophet صلى الله, then the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم mounted, meaning his camel, حتى إذا استوت به راحلته, until his she camel which he mounted, until it stood erect with him on its back, على البيداء, on an elevation, and this is by the after he made the salah in the Hulayfa. After he said, أهل بالتوحيد, أهل بالتوحيد. He declared the tawheed. لبيك اللهم لبيك. Listen to the words of Jabir. أهل بالتوحيد. And he explained the tawheed to be لبيك اللهم لبيك. And we will explain that afterwards. So is there any contradiction between the hadith of Jabir and the hadith of Ibn Umar, which was the first opinion we discussed earlier? No, there is no contradiction. Because this is understood that Jabir did not hear the talbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except after the mount of the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to this elevated place. And Ibn Umar heard the Messenger making the talbiyah when he mounted his mount. So each one of them related what he heard. Each one of them related what he heard. So there is no contradiction, therefore, between the narration of Jabir and the narration of Ibn Umar. So therefore, it is preferred that the person makes the talbiyah after he mounts his mount. Why? Because the person may remember something and he will have some time now to do it, like perfume or the like. After the salah, he may want to put his perfume on his head or the like. So we say, don't make the talbiyah and don't enter the state of ihram until you mount your mount. Therefore, you will have some time to put on your tib, your perfume, on your head. Now, what is the meaning of talbiyah? What is the meaning of talbiyah? لبيك اللهم لبيك. This talbiyah is a great attestation. Attestation of what? Didn't we hear what Jabir called it? Jabir said, أهل بالتوحيد. So it is a great attestation of tawheed, of singling Allah alone in worship. This is the tawheed, which is the essence of the message of all the messengers. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anbiya, in chapter 21. We need to contemplate this, because many people just say the talbiyah, say لبيك اللهم لبيك, and they don't contemplate what it means. In Surah Al-Anbiya 20:25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. And we did not send any messenger before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we inspired him saying, La ilaha illa ana. None has the right to be worshipped but I, so worship me alone. Labbaik is a word of response, meaning I am responding. The evidence is what is authentically reported, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of resurrection, Ya Adam, O Adam, and then Adam says, Labbaik, I am responding to you. Also, it carries the meaning of continuity on obedience. So therefore, it means responding to Allah and holding on to His obedience. That's why some from the scholars interpreted the meaning of لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك, they said, لبيك أنا مجيب لك. I respond to you, مقيم على طاعتك, staying on obeying you. Now, if someone asks the question, where is the call of Allah such that we answer, I respond, لبيك. Where is the call of Allah here? The answer, the call of Allah is already stated in Surah Al-Hajj, in chapter 22, verse 27, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, and proclaim to mankind the Hajj, the pilgrimage, they will come to you on foot. رِجَالًا, it doesn't mean رِجَالًا meaning men, no, it means on foot. رِجَالًا, on foot, عَلَىٰ أَرْجُلِهِمْ, on their feet, and on every lean camel, they will come from every deep and distant wide mountain highway to perform Hajj. Now, why labbayka is repeated twice? Listen to the talbiyah. Labbayk Allahumma labbayk. It's repeated twice. Does this mean the actual repeating it twice, or what is intended is great response? The second. It means a response after a response after a response and after a response, and staying on obedience after staying on obedience after following a staying of obedience, continuing. So abundance. It doesn't mean twice, actual twice. Allahumma labbayka Allahumma. Allahumma means Ya Allah. Allahumma means Ya Allah, O Allah. However, Ya is omitted and replaced by the mim, Allahumma. Instead of Ya Allah, the Ya, the article Ya, is omitted and it is replaced by the mim. And the mim replaced at the end. Because in this case, the mim denotes plurality. And it's a mark for plurality. It is as if the one who is invoking and saying, I am responding, it is as if he gathered his heart upon his Lord to invoke him, to call him. Because he would say, Ya Allah. Now why it was placed at the end? Why? In order to have the title Allah in the beginning as a blessing. Allahumma. Allahumma. So the title, the majestic title, came in the beginning. The meme was not placed in the beginning, but rather at the end. And so that the person starts by mentioning the name of Allah at first. And this is a blessing. Labbaik. Another time mentioned, in order to affirm the first one, but with a new meaning, and it is repeated, and for affirmation that he is responding to Allah, staying on his obedience. Labbayka Allah. Labbayk Allahumma labbayk. Labbayka la sharika laka labbayk. Because you respond to Allah, and the more you respond to him, the more you increase your faith and your longing to him. And that's why it is repeated. And therefore the believer should try to remember and contemplate and feel while saying labbaik. He should remember the call of Allah Azza wa Jal to him and his response to Allah, not just sheer wordings. La sharika lak. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Then la sharika lak, meaning no associate partner to you in anything, not only in this talbiyah, but this is more comprehensive. La sharika lak, no associate partner to you in your kingdom, and la sharika lak, no associate partner to you in your divinity, and la sharika lak, no associate partner to you in your names and attributes. ولا شريك لك, and no associate to you, في كل ما يختص بك, in all that which is particular to you, O Allah. And from that is this response of mine, فأنا مخلص لك فيها. I am sincere in uttering it. ما حججت رياء. I'm not coming to perform Hajj for show off. ولا سمعة, nor for fame. ولا للمال, and not for money, and not for anything else. إنما حججت لك. I am performing my Hajj to you alone. ولبيت لك فقط, and to you I respond only. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ, continuing the talbiyah, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكْ, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكْ. So, this is general talbiyah response. This is a general response. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكْ. Comprehensive. Alhamd. It means when we say general, it does not mean like I'm responding because the praise is only for you. No, it's more comprehensive than that. Alhamd wa ni'mah. Lak alhamdu wa ni'mah. Inna alhamda wa ni'mah lak. طيب. The praise and ni'mah, the bounties are yours and favors. Now, normally we hear the two titles or the two names or the two words rather, Alhamd and Al-Madh. Alhamd meaning praise. Al-Madh meaning commending. They agree in terms of derivatization linguistically, meaning in terms of the letter. They are composed of Hamd and Hamd, Ha, Meem and Dal. Ha, Hamd, Hamd. Now you can read also Madh, right? From the same letters, Hamd and Madh. Okay, can you see that? Hamd, Hamd, Hamd and Madh exist in both words. Now, is the Hamd the same as Madh, or there is difference? There is difference between Hamd, praising, and Madh, commending. And great difference, in fact. Because Alhamd is based upon love and magnification. Alhamd, which is praising, is based upon love and magnification. However, the other one, which is Al-Madh, commending, does not necessitate that. You may commend someone whom you don't have any love for him in your heart, neither you have magnification of him. However, you commend him because hoping to get something from him, yet your heart does not love him and you don't magnify him. However, Alhamd, which is the praising, it's inevitable that it is based upon love and magnification. And that is the meaning with respect to Allah now. It means وصف المحمود بالكمال محبة وتعظيما, is describing the praised one with perfection out of love and magnification. Out of love and magnification. This is the meaning of Hamd. This is the legal meaning of Hamd. When you say Alhamdulillah, you're praising Allah by perfection in all of His names and attributes, out of love and magnification. Out of love and magnification. Is this clear? And no one would deserve this praise except Allah. No one deserves this praise except Allah. No one. So if someone says Alhamd meaning allowing Allah or commending Allah, this is wrong. This is nullified in the authentic hadith. in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the salah, our salah. قُسِمَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. The salah is partitioned between my slave and me into two parts. فَإِذَا قَالَ, if my slave says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, all praise is due to the Lord of all that exists. قَالَ, Allah says, حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah responds by saying, my slave praised me, حَمَدَنِي. وَإِذَا قَالَ, and if my slave says, in the salah, while reciting the Fatiha of course, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, the most beneficent, the most merciful, قَالَ, Allah says in response, أَثْنَى, listen, أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, means my slave commanded me. So Allah used two different words. And this indicates that as-sana is different from madh. Praising is different from commending and allowing. Now, al-hamd, inna al-hamda. Listen carefully, please. Al-hamda, when you pronounce, try to pronounce now with me so that you come to know what I would like to talk about. Al, listen, al, this article in the beginning of the word, al Hamd. Al, are you pronouncing with me now? The article Al in Alhamd. Are you pronouncing? Al. Alhamd. The article Al denotes total comprehensiveness, meaning جميع أنواع المحامد لله وحده. All kinds of praises are due to Allah, belong to Allah. This Al is called in Arabic للاستغراق. Al, this article. جميع أنواع المحامد لله وحده, belong to Allah alone, all the praises. Al-Muhammad, praising him for the benefits, praising him for warding off harm, praising him for attaining good, general and particular. All of this belong to Allah, all the praises. Then this is called for al-istighraq. 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 Then, inna al-hamda wal-ni'mata. Wal-ni'ma. The favor, the bounties. To Allah. The favor. You are the one who is offering the favor, O Allah. And you are the one who deserves that because it is from you. Then in the talbiyah, inna alhamda wal ni'mata laka, then wal mulk la sharika lak. This is affirmation that the hamd and the ni'mah, that the hamd, that the praise and the bounties to Allah, no associate to him. If you contemplate these words and the magnificent meanings they denote, then you will come to understand that this talbiyah comprises all types of tawheed. As Jabir said in his hadith, أَهَلَّ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ, he, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made the talbiyah by declaring the tawheed, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ, لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. And the Sahaba are the most knowledgeable of people regarding Tawheed. So you say, والملك لا شريك لك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك. الملك, the kingdom. This is from Tawheed of Ar-Rububiyyah, singling Allah alone as the true Rabb. Rather, we say also that Al-Uluhiyyah, singling Allah alone as the true God, is from the Tawheed of Rububiyyah. Why? Because affirming Al-Uluhiyyah, that Allah is the only true God, متضمن لإثبات الربوبية, comprises the affirmation of lordship. On the other hand, affirming lordship, الربوبية, necessitates affirming godship or uluhiyya. And that's why no one singles Allah alone as the true God, except that he singles him alone as the true Rabb. But there are people who may single Allah alone in him being the true Rabb, but does not single him alone to be the true God worthy of worship. And therefore we tell him, if you single Allah alone in lordship, then this necessitates that you must single him alone in godship as the only true God who deserves to be worshipped alone. And that's why the ulama stated, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, singling Allah alone as the true Lord, mustalzimun li Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, necessitates the singling Allah alone in Godship, in Divinity, in Uluhiyyah. Wa Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, and singling Allah alone as the true God, mutadamminun, comprises Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Comprises the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, comprises singling Allah alone as the true Lord. So, this is taken from the title Wal-Mulk. You see that? This is derived from Mulk. What about the names and attributes? We said this Talbiyah comprises the entire Tawheed. Now we know now it comprises two, Lordship and Divinity, Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah. What about the names and attributes? Listen. إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةِ. فَالْحَمْد is وَصْفُ الْمَحْمُودِ بِالْكَمَالِ, is describing the praised one Allah with perfection. وَالنِّعْمَةِ, and the bounty and the favor. مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْأَفْعَالِ, is from the attributes of actions of Allah. So therefore, it now comprises Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, singling Allah alone in His unique and in His unique names and attributes. Now, we said it comprises the meaning of Tawheed in entirety. From where then we come to know that it is without tahrif, without distortion, without negation, without description, and without representation? بلا تحريف ولا تعطيل ولا تكييف ولا تمثيل. Where is this in this statement of Talbiyah? This comes from the statement in it where it says لا شريك لك. لا شريك لك. So if we make representation of Allah, then we commit shirk in تمثيل. And therefore, we come to know that these great words comprise the entire Tawheed. And it's unfortunate that, and it's regrettable rather, that you hear some people in Hajj or in Umrah, they say it as if this is a song, as if it is a song, a rhyme. They don't understand the meaning properly. This is the Talbiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Jabir related to us in the hadith reported in Sahih Muslim. Question: can we add to this Talbiyah? Question: Can we add to this talbiyah? It is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, لَبَّيْكَ إِلَهَ الْحَقِّ. I respond to you, O Allah, the God of truth. It means, أَنْتَ إِلَهُ الْحَقِّ. You are the true God. And Ibn Umar, and this is reported by An-Nasa'i and others, Ibn Umar used to add, Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, used to add in his talbiyah, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ. لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ, it means, لَبَّيْكَ, I respond to you, وَسَعْدَيْكَ, I am ready to obey you, وَالْخَيْرُ فِي يَدَيْكَ, and good is in your hands. وَالرَّغْبَاءَ إِلَيْكَ وَالْعَمَلِ. لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرَ فِي يَدَيْكَ. Yes, وَالْخَيْرَ فِي يَدَيْكَ وَالرَّغْبَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Unto you is the petition, and deeds are also for you. This is reported by Imam Muslim. So if the person adds these words, then we hope that this is okay, following the way of Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. However, it is preferred to stick to what is affirmed from the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Is it permissible to make takbir instead of talbiyah if the person is at the time of talbiyah in the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, in the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, Ka'ashri Dhul Hijjah? The answer is yes, because Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported, حَجَجْنَا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مِنَّ الْمُكَبِّرِ وَمِنَّ الْمُهِلِّ. And from us, there were those who made takbir and those who made tahleel. La ilaha illa ant. In this there is a proof that they did not make harmonious congregational talbiyah, as some people do. Rather, some did make takbir and some made tahleel, each remembering Allah on his own, according to his own condition. As to men, they should raise their voices with it, because the Prophet ﷺ raised their voices with the talbiyah, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أتاني جبريل فأمرني أن آمر أصحابي أن يرفعوا أصواتهم بالإهلال. Jibril came to me and ordered me that I order my companions to raise their voices with the إهلال, with the talbiyah. This is reported by Sahih Muslim, or in Sahih Muslim. So therefore, the men should raise their voices in compliance with the command of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and following his sunnah and the sunnah of his companions. And also because no stone, no tree around that will hear the voice of the one making talbiyah, except that they will bear witness for that on the day of resurrection for him. It will say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ هَذَا حَجَّ مُلَبِّيَا. I testify that this Hajj, this person made Hajj mulabbiyan, with declaration of talbiyah. It's regrettable that many of the people performing Hajj don't make the talbiyah. In fact, Jabir used to say, كنا نصرخ بذلك صراخا. We used to raise our voices with them. Now, if someone says, but Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one narration said to his companions after they made takbir in loud voice on a journey, didn't he admonish them and tell them أيها الناس اربعوا على أنفسكم أي هونوا عليها, or people take it easy upon yourselves, فإنكم لا تدعون أصم ولا غائبا, for in fact you don't invoke someone, meaning Allah, someone who is deaf or absent. إن الذي تدعونه, the one you are invoking, أقرب إلى أحدكم من عنق راحلته, is closer to you than the neck of his camel. So what's the response? The response, we say, the talbiyah has a particular specification to it, because it is from شعائر الحج, it is from the rituals of Hajj, and that's why we have proof to raise the voices in its declaration. But with respect to women, they keep that secret, because the woman is commanded to lower their voices in the presence of men, and therefore they don't raise their voices. Because the voice of the woman, although it is not awra, يُخْشَى مِنْهُ الْفِتْنَةِ, it is seen that it could be a source of affliction. So that's why the woman should make the talbiyah secretly, to the extent that she can only make it heard to her company of women, and don't make it loud. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.